Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, how are you? How are you? Oh, I'm so excited. I'm so excited. I am on the air live for the first time in a long time, and I'm excited about who my guest is. Today is a special day for me. Sir Charles Gentry is with me. Are you there?
Yes, I am, Ms. B. How are you?
Listen, yes, I am, Ms. B. How are you? Y'all don't know how happy I am to hear this voice. That's right. This is Positively Ms. B. If this is your first time joining me, I am Positively Ms. B with Storm Talk 365 Radio. We are doing a special interview tonight. This is the last weekend of the year, and I am so blessed to have with me Sir Charles Gentry from the PoetsWithoutLimits.com and Horizon Speakers Alliance. He's been MIA for a while. He's had a lot going on. But tonight we're going to talk about where he is in ministry and where he is professionally. So welcome, Sir Charles Gentry.
Thank you so much, Miss B.
How are you?
Well, I'm doing very well. You know, feeling really good and good health and, you know, mind's good and in the right place and just moving into all the things that, you know, God had promised for me. So I'm just, excited about that.
Well, speaking of being excited about things, one of the things that I would like to ask, if you don't mind, you have a lot of followers. You've been out there for a long time. So for the people who are not aware of who Charles Gentry is, could you give them just a little background about yourself?
Okay. Well, you know, depending on how far they go back, I founded the Poets Without Limits, and it was a website and a group for poets all over the world. And we had some of the best poets and spoken word artists in the world to write articles for our website, the Poets Without Limits, as well as put their performances on our website. So it was just a place where, as I say, poets and spoken word artists from all over the world could showcase their talents and their gifts. So that was one thing that I did as founder of that. Also, I've been songwriter and had some, you know, songs on the charts. I've been a journalist for over 30 years and written for some of the top newspapers and magazines, written articles on some of the, you know, biggest athletes and Grammy-winning artists of our day. So, you know, done a lot of things in that area, and I've also, along with those things, been teaching a worldwide Bible study online for going on 10 years now. So, you know, just a lot of things.
Just a lot of things is true. You have a lot of followers also, and they've been missing you, wanting to know what was going on with you. One of the things that we're definitely going to talk about is the ministry that you and your wife are involved in, but also you have written a new book, Technical Difficulties, but so what I'm trying to do is open up the questions that you asked me to ask, and it's not cooperating. But that being said,
okay. Everybody,
no, seriously, that being said, as soon as it finished bouncing around, I had technical difficulties. But, Charles, moving forward, I would like for you to tell them a little bit about where you see Charles Gentry going. I don't want to talk about the ministry or the book just yet, but what else do you see for 2018 for Charles Gentry?
Well, you know, for me, I really see it as a year in which a lot of things that I've been working toward for years and a lot of things that God had put on my heart to do years and years ago are coming to fruition. You know, not only the book that was just written, a new book that's been out for a little less than a month now, but also I have three more books that I'll be writing this coming year. And these things are things that have been there for, you know, a long time and kind of on the back burner and percolating. And God has opened the door for me to, you know, to complete a lot of things that have been in the works for quite a while. So that's what I see. I see 2018 for myself on a personal level as a year of fulfillment for a lot of the promises that God has, you know, put into my life.
Awesome. Well, you've already mentioned that you've been a Bible instructor for a while, for over a decade, as a matter of fact, but you now embarked upon something new, your new book, The Essentials. We're going to talk about it in detail. It talks about insights that are key to scriptures, and we all know that you love the Lord and make no bones about that. You said in your bio, the fall of man through our triumphal return to heaven, our true home. Explain to us, what does that mean to you?
Well, you know, it's a lot of people have read the, you know, read the scriptures, and a lot of people have just throughout their lives been in contact, you know, with their church or have read over the Bible, and they kind of have a foundation, you know, of some of the key scriptures from the Bible, the key fundamentals. But especially the generation that's growing up now, there are a lot of people who didn't really have that church upbringing, you know, have not really been exposed to those things. And consequently, a lot of them don't take the Bible literally. You know, they look at it as an allegory or as something, you know, akin to Greek myths, you know, about Zeus and Hercules and all of these, and not as a real thing, that Jesus was actually a real person, you know, a historical person, and the things that he did, and there is a, you know, God who created all of this. It didn't just happen out of some cosmic explosion or some accident, you know. So I'm a person who takes it, you know, literally. And so the book that I've written, The Essentials, kind of goes into those key fundamentals of the faith, beginning with where the trouble all began, you know, the fall of man, you know, what happened, mm-hmm. what was, you know, God's purpose, and how that all get off course in terms of, you know, where man is concerned. And then those key things that walk us from that point all the way up to our return to where we came from, which is heaven. You know, before we were human beings in this body, this flesh, you know, that we're wrapped in, we were spirits, you know, and we were with God. So when we go back, we are returning to the place where we first came from. That's why God says, before the foundation of the world, I knew you. You know, he knew us in our spirit form. So the book takes us from, again, the fall of man all the way through into our triumphant return, you know, back to glory in heaven.
Back to glory in heaven. Now, you told us how you feel about writing this book, but how did One Love Nation come about? Where did that come from?
Well, One Love Nation is the ministry co-founded by myself and you know, my wonderful wife, Patina Paulette Gentry. And what One Love Nation speaks to is that, one, no matter how people try to divide us, and, you know, that's just a tool and a trick of the enemy to divide us up into different colors and races, to divide us into male or female, to divide us in by nationality, you know, what countries we come from. The enemy sets up all these divisions to throw us off. But the truth of the matter is that we're just one nation. We're one people. And when we can realize that and act upon that, we can accomplish great things. You know, Adam and Eve were one couple. And if we're all descendant from them, then that means we're all one family. You know, so that's what the one love nation stands for, is one people. And the love, of course, is God, because God is love, you know, and he is, you know, the one true God. So one love nation represents, you know, the one true God, the fact that we are all one people.
So would you say that that's the philosophy of One Love Nation? We're all one people, or what would the actual philosophy of One Love Nation be?
Yeah, that would be basically, you know, the philosophy that we are one nation. And, you know, we have to understand that, you know, God created us for a purpose and with a purpose. So when we are in alignment with that purpose, then we are all moving as one people, as one nation, you know, and God says that one Lord, one faith, one baptism. So we are all moving as one nation. Where we get off track again is when we start to get into all these divisions and all these schisms, you know, that's when everything gets off track. So the philosophy of One Love Nation is to unite everyone again, you know, under God, the Creator, and to move forward and to, you know, make this world not only a better place, but to do the things in this world that we were created to do. You know, each of us has been given a purpose by God. And so as we all move forward and fulfill our purpose, it advances God's purpose. You know, so that's really the philosophy of One Love Nation, is to unite us as one in order to fulfill God's purpose.
In order to fulfill God's purpose, but how do you plan to use your ministry, the One Love Nation? What are the things that the listeners can hope to see you set out to accomplish with this new ministry, One Love Nation?
Well, there are a number, you know, number of objectives that we have for the ministry. We want to deal, first of all, with those people who are head of households, those people who are in a position and positions of leadership. You know, that's where everything has to begin, because you can't really, you know, move at the level of those who are still learning and those who are following, you know. Without a leader, any movement is not going anywhere. You know, without a vision, the word tells us people perish, you know. So you first of all have to deal with and build leaders. So that's one of the first things that One Love Nation is about, is providing studies, you know, Bible studies, providing seminars, providing classes, providing workshops and entrepreneur programs, so that we can build leaders. You know, and if we can build leaders, first of all, in the homes, you know, as head of households, you know, we can build leaders in the community that can have a positive effect on the different communities. And then finally, build leadership in those positions of government, you know. If we can do those things, then the people can gain some kind of direction, you know. And once leaders are established, then we can develop those other people who happen to be followers and are future leaders. You know, we can develop them. So that's the first thing we want to do, is develop leaders. And the second thing we want to do is to deal with our youth. you know, and that's always been a great passion of mine, to deal with our youth. We need a lot of guidance and a lot of direction, and we do that through a mentoring program that we have. And through our mentoring program, we not only teach them life skills, but we teach them entrepreneurship so that as they grow up, they can start and run their own businesses, and then with those businesses, employ other people and give other people an opportunity, you know, to be successful also. So as we establish that at a younger age, in junior high and high school, we're looking for these young people to then, you know, once they are out into the world, to really have an impact financially as well in terms of, you know, leadership in their communities.
You know, I'm actually looking at your website, onelovenation.com. By the way, everybody, if you're interested, you can go to onelovenation, www.onelovenation.com. I'm looking at it, and it talks about Bible studies, great teachings, and sermons. And it says that you're going to start Bible studies March 2018. Give us a little bit about those Bible studies, the Essentials Online Bible Studies.
Yeah, the Essentials Studies is based on the teachings from the book, The Essentials. And with the book, as I say, I started with The Fall of Man. In Chapter 2, it goes into Bought with a Price and gives us the background, you know, on Jesus Christ, why he came, why he had the way that he was, what he paid for on the cross, you know, how he purchased us and who he purchased us from, you know, why his blood was necessary. All of those things it goes into. We go into from there in Chapter 3, A House Divided, which is the problem with man. You know, why is it that we want to do good sometimes but can't find the way to do it, you know? And so A House Divided talks about the constant battle that all of us go through between the spirit and the flesh. You know, our flesh wants to do what pleases us and what pleases man, but our spirit wants to do what pleases God. And so there's a battle within each of us, you know. So House Divided talks about that. God in Us, the next chapter, talks about the Holy Spirit. You know, who is the Holy Spirit? Why did God put it in each of us? What is the job of the Holy Spirit? And we know that it's to lead us and guide us into all truth. So it talks about that. And the following chapter, A Sheep in Wolf's Clothing, talks about our adversary. And, you know, people today, you don't hear them talk about Satan or the devil as much. You know, that's kind of old hat. You know, now they just talk about things that, you know, befall people that are man-made. But, you know, we do have an adversary. You know, for everything that exists, there's an opposite. For there's light and there's darkness. You know, there's inside, there's outside, there's up and there's down, and there's God and the opposite of God. You know, there is a devil, there is Satan. And so it goes into that, but it goes into it and explains who he really is and what his powers and his limitations are. And one thing that we find out in the book under that chapter is that although people, you know, fear him and think he's all powerful, he's not all powerful. As a matter of fact, he doesn't have any power except for the power that we give him. You know, Jesus said, I have all power. Okay, well, if Jesus has all power, how much is left? None. And then Jesus says he gives us power to become the sons, you know, and daughters of God. So that means he gave us a little power, but it never mentions that he gave Satan any power. So where does he get his power from? He gets it from us, you know, when we yield to him and give and hand him power. Other than that, he's powerless to do anything to us. So, you know, the book goes into a lot of these fundamentals. It talks about the word, the power of the word, you know, reading and studying the word and applying the word to our lives. It talks about overcoming the world through our faith the same way Jesus did. You know, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. It talks about the great occupation that we're supposed to be in, which is being fishers of men. You know, we go to church and you know, we pray, we do all these things, but a lot of us forget that we've been called to be fishers of men. We've been called to share the gospel in a way that brings other people to Christ, you know. So that's our great occupation, and we need to be about that. It goes into the power of prayer, goes into prosperity and blessings and what our responsibility is with those, goes into the power of unity. When we come into oneness, you know, what power is there? It goes into divine health. You know, God wants us to prosper, but he says he wants us to prosper as our soul prospers. You know, so how do we make that happen? And finally, it talks about the end of the world as we know it. It talks about, you know, the coming end of the world. You know, this world will not exist always. So it talks about that, and it talks about us returning home finally to heaven. So all those things are covered in the book, The Essentials, and all those things will be covered in our upcoming Bible study series, The Essentials Online.
Well, you know, we're going to get back to the essentials a little later, but on your website, you also included things like motivation and music. What made you add those type of topics on your website?
Okay, because with us, what we endeavor to do with One Love Nation is we endeavor minister to the whole person, body, mind, and spirit. So it does us no good to just minister to the spirit. You know, everything is Jesus, 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 but people don't know how to, you know, move forward on their jobs. People don't know how to create businesses for themselves. People don't know how to be good parents and raise a family. People don't know how to make good decisions, you know, whether in their personal lives and relationships or whether on their jobs. You know, all these things need to be taught. And so we endeavor with One Love Nation to teach the entire person, again, body, mind, and spirit. And so some of the tools that we use to do that are motivational things, like motivational videos, motivational speeches. We use morning meditations. If you start your day off right, most likely that day will go right the entire day long, you know. So we teach these things, and we use videos. We use music. You know, music is something that, you know, really gets into our spirit, really gets down into our soul. And the effectiveness of music as a tool, not only to tune us and get us into the right mindset and the right mentality to deal with day-to-day life, you know. So we use music also on our website that people can go on and they can click on to the kind of music they like that's positive, from jazz to hip-hop to gospel to worship, you know, all of these different forms of music, but the positive forms of them.
You know, obviously you have a relationship with Christ, and obviously you have a deep level of compassion for our fellow human mankind, whether you're a believer in Christ or not, but you love to share ministry with others and to uplift and encourage. Tell us a little bit about your background in ministry, or do you have a background in ministry, and how do you first get involved in church? Were you born and raised in church, like they say, or did you become an adult and get interested in? Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I was basically, from a very young age, raised in church. My grandmother, who was a great, great woman, Hattie Williams, was one of the pillars of Church of God in Christ. She helped churches get started. Some of the biggest ministers back in the day of the Church of God in Christ in California, you know, she was a mother in the churches, or, you know, she gave them the funds to help start their ministry. And the church that I grew up in was one of those churches. You know, she gave them the money to actually start and found the church. And so I was, from a young age, I would say about 5 years old on, raised in church, you know. But at the same time also, I was born and raised in South Central Los Angeles, you know. And no matter how much church you have in you, it doesn't, you know, hide you from, you know, the harshness of life growing up in an inner city, you know, and especially in, you know, the roughest part of that city, which was South Central Los Angeles. So I grew up in church in my late teens, early 20s. You know, like a lot of people, I sort of got away from it, got out there in the world. I was an athlete, playing baseball, went far on that level until I got an injury, a couple of injuries that ended my career, and I had to make a choice, you know, to do something else. And that's what led me into getting into songwriting. I found myself in the music industry as a songwriter. And so those early years, early 20s, again, I was sort of out there, and I found my way back to the church when the Lord really provoked me to jealousy, really. There was a guy on my job who was not only, we felt, a terrible supervisor, but one of the, you know, most terrible people you could ever run into, you know, a person who is just not a good person, you know. And yeah, you know the kind. And one day he called us all into the break room at work. And here's this guy who we all looked at as just, you know, the vilest, you know, meanest person there ever was. And he began to tell us how, he started off with apologizing to everyone, and he began to tell us how his life has been changed. You know, he got saved over the weekend, and Jesus Christ is in his life now. And he began to, you know, just pour out his heart about all these things. And I'm thinking to myself, whoa, wait a minute. You know, the Jesus who I know is going to take time to save you? You know?
Yeah,
I'm out here away from the church myself, and he's going to skip over me to save you? Yeah. And it really kind of provoked me to jealousy, you know, to say, wow, hey, here's a guy who, you know, is bad as bad can be, and yet he's found the Lord, and I'm out here still, you know, drifting and kind of doing my own thing, you know, and not thinking about God anymore. And so it really caused me to reexamine myself and to reexamine my values and the way that my life was going. And at that time, you know, I was married to my wife, Sharon. We were very young in our marriage. And I came home, you know, one day from work after this happened. And, you know, I talked to her about the whole situation. And I said, you know, we're about to have our first son. She was pregnant with our first son then. And I said, and, you know, I really come to the realization that we need to, you know, get back in church, get back with the Lord, and be able to raise our children, you know, in our faith, you know, be able to raise them to be godly young men and young women. And she looked at me and just shook her head, and she said, I have been praying for weeks for you to come to that realization. You know, and,
wow.
You know, as always, you women are always ahead of us.
Oh, baby.
Yeah, so, you know, so that's kind of my background and how it happened. And, you know, as an athlete, as a writer, you know, I excelled in a lot of things, but I came to the realization that, you know, without God, it's really all meaningless. You know, it really is. All the success in life that we can have without him, it really is meaningless. It really does come to nothing.
I apologize for my puppies in the background, but we're going to take a short musical break to give Sir Charles a chance to get some water or wet his throat because he's given us a lot of information. We will come back. We'll talk a little bit more about his heart, what's really driving him into the ministry, what's on his heart the most, what does he want to accomplish the most, and where does he see One Love Nation going. But that being said, everybody, this is Ms. B, Positively Ms. B. If you're just joining us, we have Sir Charles Gentry on the line. He's talking about his new ministry, One Love Nation, and his new book, The Essentials, which you can find on Amazon. We'll talk about that a little later, but stay tuned right back after this short musical break. I was talking with the mute. Did you hear me? Hey, everybody, we're back. Thank you so much for listening to that little excerpt. I chose that song just for you, Sir Charles, since we're talking about love, loving for one another, not just the sensual, but the one love for each other. And I know you love music, and I said, you know what, let me just play something, not just a traditional gospel, but to give you a sense of what love is all about. So thank you all for listening. This is Ms. B with Sir Charles Gentry. We were talking about his ministry and the One Love Nation, what he expects to get from it in the coming months since it is new. So let's talk about that, Charles. We talked about your background, but in terms of ministry, what's really on your heart? I really want to know you know, you actually came up with the idea, One Love Ministry. How did you get the name? And, you know, how did you and Patina come up with, we need to start a ministry, and we're going to name it One Love Ministry?
Yeah, One Love Nation, you probably more than just about anyone else know, you know, not only my background, but recently, you know, the things that have happened in my life and transpired. We were doing a lot of work with the Poets Without Limits, and, you know, we had thousands and thousands of followers, and that ministry was going very well, and, you know, being a great blessing to people through all of the, you know, knowledge and wisdom and just the camaraderie that was shared from poet to poet, and, you know, with the audience, you know, the poetic audience out there. So those things are going really well. But as those things were happening, I had some health issues going on and conditions that were occurring with me personally. And most of it was from just, you know, going so hard day to day with, you know, the work with the poets and just my life and pushing everything forward to the point where I really wasn't taking care of myself. You know, I was working around the clock and sleeping most nights just 2 hours, 3 hours a night, and writing and, you know, just doing all the things that I was doing. And a lot of that was from just the grief that I was going through, you know, from my wife passing, my first wife Sharon, and my way of dealing with that grief and trying to get through it was just to immerse myself in work, you know, and just work around the clock and, you know, not leave myself any spare time to give thought to that. And so I basically worked myself into a state of ill health. And a little before the beginning of this year, it came to a head, and I went into the hospital to the emergency room with some pains and some things happening. They examined me, and at that point, you know, they let me know that my kidneys were in bad shape, and, you know, I needed to make some real, real changes in my lifestyle if I was going to regain any of my health, you know. So that was my first wake-up call. And then after that, I, you know, got a little bit of my health back and, you know, dove right back into the work again and began to, you know, just really keep up with the same bad habits of working around the clock and not eating right and all of those things. And finally, this is at the point where I had met my current wife, Patina. And, you know, I had just gotten to know her. We were beginning to talk and build a relationship together. And once we got married in February, a couple of months later, I found myself in so much pain that I couldn't lay down to sleep because I was in pain when I laid down. I couldn't, you know, sit up in bed because I was so exhausted. I would fall asleep and tumble over. So it was like at the point where, you know, she just basically said, hey, look, you have got to go to the hospital. You know, I'm not taking no for an answer. And she made me go in. I was having, you know, chest pains, trouble breathing, the whole bit. So I get in, and I'm thinking I'm going to get in there. They're going to take care of it, and I'll be back out the next day, and things will be back to normal. And I get in there, and the doctors examine me, and they came back after a couple of hours. And, you know, I basically said, okay, when does it look like I'll be getting out? I heard you say that, you know, you're going to keep me overnight for observations. So will I be able to go home in the morning or the evening? And they sort of looked at me like I was crazy. The doctor said, you're not going anywhere. You know, you won't be going home for quite a while. So as you know, Miss B, God took my Superman cape away, you know.
Uh-huh. Yep, yep, sure.
And he slowed me down. I spent almost 2 weeks in the hospital hooked up. They had to give me blood transfusions. I had 3 operations in 2 days, and it was really a life, threatening situation. There were doctors there who didn't think I was going to make it out, So I got through that, and the Lord blessed me to have an excellent surgeon who performed surgery on me and just did wonders. And I came out of one surgery, and they had another surgical team waiting. As soon as I came out of that surgery, transferred me over to another table in the operating room, and the second surgery team began to work on me with the second surgery. So it was pretty bad for a while, and my recovery, even after I got out of the hospital, took months. I had lost 30-some pounds, and, if you know me, I'm tall and thin and did not have 30 pounds to lose. So, I went through that whole situation, and in the midst of it, God was speaking to me, ministering to me, all the time. And I realized that I was accomplishing a lot of the goals that I had set for myself as a writer. I put out the book Invincible with my poetry in it and my writings. And before that, I had published the book Trojans with my writings in it. And so those things were being accomplished. Again, I had written some songs that became hit songs. So I had accomplished things in that realm. I had accomplished things as an athlete to play with and against some of the greatest athletes in the world. As a journalist, I had won awards in writing about some of the, great athletes and entertainers of our day. And I was kind of chuckling when you played your musical interlude, because that's one of my favorite voices, Denise Williams. And Denise Williams was one of the very first major interviews that I did as a journalist, and wrote a story on her, got to meet her.
What?
Yeah, so I had, you name it, Al Green, Andre Crouch, the Winans, on and on and on. I've done those interviews and with athletes also. So I had accomplished a lot of things that I personally had set as goals to accomplish. But what I realized was the things that God has set as goals for me to accomplish in terms of ministry and in terms of advancing his kingdom, I hadn't done. I had done things that were blessing the people and managed gospel groups and written gospel songs and all those things. But the bulk of what he had told me and put on my heart to do in terms of ministry, I had not really gotten into with my whole heart, and really went at it the way that I went at everything else to accomplish it. So when I'm laying flat on my back and going through this very, very difficult and painful period in my life, that was, the realization that I came to, that if I did die, I would die with all those things unfulfilled, And so it was a wake-up call to me to get busy about my Father's business.
Wow. About my Father's business. Now that you've decided to go about your Father's business, but to me, I think everything that you have done has been absolutely ordained by the Father, because the awards, the recognition, the accomplishments, but right now you're more focused on the actual spiritual aspect of it.
Right.
You personally, where do you see your biggest challenges in ministry for today?
I think that the biggest challenges for me, as well as just for ministries, in general, are the way that people look at ministry and look at spiritual things today. I think that, unfortunately, the church has done so much damage to people. And when I say the church, we're distinguishing ministries from God's church. God's true church is his people, But within God's people, there have been ministries and there have been ministers that have done a lot of damage in, you know, preaching one thing and then, you know, they fall in a very public fall, very public humiliation. And that gives people who are non-believers the fodder to say, oh, yeah, look, well, you know, he's talking this, but he's doing that. And so consequently, a lot of people who are not believers came to see the church and came to see as hypocrites, you know. And so that skepticism, that, you know, pessimistic attitude that people have, that, as I say, was founded upon a lot of the things that, you know, the church was saying and doing, that's the biggest thing I feel that we have to break through today. Now we have two generations that have come along that were not raised in church and who have this kind of pessimistic attitude toward spiritual things. And so we can't come in the same way that we've been approaching them, you know, just opening the Bible and you know, reading scripture to them and thinking that that's going to help them to turn the corner. We know that the Holy Spirit is the one who has to touch their heart to make any kind of change, you know, but at the same time, we have to bring a new kind of ministry forth that deals, again, with the whole person, you know, body, mind, and spirit. I can't just teach you spiritual things anymore. I have to teach you how to make a living for your family, because that's one of the, you know, the key factors that's going to determine, you know, your state of mind. If I can't feed my family, it's going to be hard for you to tell me anything about spiritual things, you know, and about God. So we have to come with ministries now that deal with the whole person, you know, their marriages, their occupations, their how they raise their children, you know, how they fit into and communicate with the other people in their community, you know, all of these things. So the ministries that go forth now have to be strong enough and diverse enough to be able to minister in not just spiritual things, but in all things.
I'm going to, something that you like to say all the time, always learning but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Why is this statement so important to you?
Because I think that's where a lot of people are. You know, you hear people who say, oh, well, yeah, I read the Bible, but I don't believe it. Or, well, yeah, you know, you're just using religion as a crutch. You know, there are many people in the world who know just enough from scripture, just enough Bible to be dangerous, you know, to themselves and to others, see. And so we have people today who are, as the Bible says, always learning but never coming into the knowledge of the truth. You know, me personally, I know Shakespeare. I know everything that he's written. I know the different philosophers from Kant to Nietzsche to, you know, you name it. I know the, you know, the all of the psychology doctors from Freud on you know, Ford. I know all these things. All those things are knowledge, and all those things are useful to me, you know, from Plato to Aristotle to Socrates and on and on and on. All of that's knowledge, okay? But coming into the knowledge of the truth is a whole different thing. So we have a lot of people who have learning, you know, even if it's they learn on the streets how to survive, you know, they have learned things, but they never come into the knowledge of the truth. And the truth is that you were created by God and you were created for a purpose. You know, that's the truth. You needed to be redeemed after man fell, because he lost dominion of what God had given him, the earth and all the things on the earth, you know, eternal life. He lost all those things in the Garden of Eden to Satan. So he had to be redeemed. And we're all born under that curse. So Jesus had to come to redeem us. That's the truth. You know, he died to redeem us because he loved us. So that's the truth. There are many people who have been learning all their lives, but they have never come into the knowledge of the truth. And that's the point that everyone has to get to, that we have to get them to.
I really, of course, the Holy Spirit knew, but I did not know when I chose that song that it was something that you were very familiar with. And but getting back to the website, you know, we know there are so many other ways that we have to reach adult learners, not just adult learners, but in general. And I mentioned that you are a lover of music, and, of course, you've already touched on that. But on your website, just like I said, I didn't want to always stick to traditional gospel. How do you hope to integrate music into attracting listeners as well as people to become a part of the ministry?
Yeah, I would say this. One thing that I got over a long time ago, and, you know, it may sound arrogant, but it's really not. I don't care what people think. You know, I really don't. How people say, well, you know, what are people going to think of me? And if I do this and say, what are people going to think? I don't really care what people, I really don't. And my wife will tell you that. You know, my first wife, Sharon, will tell you that. I've never cared what people think, you know, because my standards are higher than anyone else's standards for me anyway. Okay. So if I can live up to my standards, yeah, you know, it's definitely going to surpass anyone else's standards. And what I care about is what God thinks of me. And I've been that way, you know, since I was a child. But so in saying that, I say this. We are missing out on reaching a lot of people because of the man-made traps that have been set before people. And the enemy is very sly in doing this. You know, we've led people, the church has led people to believe, you know what, if you take a sip of wine, you're going to hell. Some churches, if you go bowling, you're going to hell. You know, if you listen to Marvin Gaye, you're going to hell, which means I would bust hell wide open.
Because
I listen to Marvin Gaye all the time, you know. So
come on now.
Yeah, so we set up all these traps for people to the point where people, you know, say, well, you know what, I don't want any part of that. That life is no fun. You can't do anything. You can't say anything. You can't listen to any good music, you know. And so we set these traps, you know. And so what we're doing with One Love Ministry is stripping away all the man-made stuff, you know. And so that's why one of the categories of music that I have on the website is inspirational music. You know, and you see those videos on there, Mariah Carey singing Hero. That's an inspirational song. You know, that's really inspiring.
Oh,
to be able
I
to find the
one.
Hero in you. Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, you know, what could possibly be wrong with that? You know, one of the greatest spiritual albums ever made was Marvin Gaye's What's Going On.
Exactly.
He talked about everything from the ecology to, you know, people returning from the war in Vietnam and the circumstance they were in and the drug addiction that they gained from that. And he talked about love on there. He talked about society and us coming together. He talked about saving the children on there. I mean, what could be more spiritual than that? See, so we have to separate what man says from what God says. See? And get rid of all these traps that man has set up. Okay. See.
Well, I was on the right track because I had no idea you felt that way.
Definitely so. Definitely so. As we study all through the Bible, and the Bible bears this out, you know, everyone wants to be spiritual, spiritual, spiritual. But when we look through the Bible, we see people who were not really God-fearing people who played a major role in the success of people who did things for God. Look at the king who gave Nehemiah the wood from his forest to rebuild the walls in Jerusalem. Okay? Look at Boaz, who was not a God-fearing man. You know? You see? So there are people like this throughout the Bible who God used to accomplish his purpose. And yet somehow we think that the only, you know, people that we are allowed to be around are those who scream Jesus, Jesus, Jesus all the time. And the only people who can do any good are those people who are sitting next to us in church. There are a lot of people out here in the world who are doing good things, who are doing things that advance the kingdom, who are not God-fearing people, you see. So we can't look down our noses at other people just because we think they're not as spiritual as we are. God has a purpose for everyone.
We think, you know, our opinion.
Yeah, as we think, right.
Yeah, that opinion thing, man, that's some dangerous. You know, Charles, we're going to take a little short break, but this time it's not going to be musical. Janice Wilson, who is the COO, she's the boss of everything, is on the line. And I know you have an interview coming up with her. Let me welcome Janice. Is that okay with you?
Yeah, it certainly is.
All right, everybody, we're going to welcome Janice Wilson to the line. She is the COO. She is my rock. She is my everything on Storm Talk 365 and Storm Radio 24/7. She's calling in. Janice, are you there?
I am here.
All right.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, daughter.
Hey.
I love you.
I love you too. It's good to hear you. Oh my goodness.
Good.
Well,
I
love
this
here.
Yes.
Jamise, I'm busting you. When Charles invited you, you called in just to listen, and he put you on the spot and had you talk. He was like, "No, he didn't give me the mic," and you haven't put it down since. Is that not right, Charles?
Oh my
That's
God.
Right.
Yes. He called. I'm going to tell you the exact time he had called me coming home from the grocery store. He's like, "Janice, are you there?" I was like, "Yeah." He said, "Can you call him?" I'm like, "Call him where?" "Do what?" I had to call him to his radio show he had. And he was like, "Yeah, we're going to talk about love and relationships." I'm like, "Oh, you were talking to the wrong one." But I called in and. That bad, but I was so nervous because I had never been on like live radio before. So I had to thank him for getting me started in this because, you know, without his pushing me, I would not be doing it.
In a lot of ways.
Well,
this is like a reunion. So, Jamisa, I understand you have an interview coming up with Charles. Would you like to tell the listeners a little bit about what they can expect?
Well, yes, I do have an interview. Oh, my goodness. Can y'all believe it? I'm interviewing him. Oh, my goodness. Anyway, we're going to be discussing
I know,
Brooke.
Right? You and me both.
I mean,
we have arrived, Jamise.
It's a circle. Yes, we'll be discussing his new book, The Essentials, on Storm Radio 24/7's Author's Corner, which is a new program that I'm starting starting in January 2018. So he will be one of the first few coming on in January, so I'm excited about that. And I'm nervous right now, but I'm looking forward to it. It should be great. It'll be great.
All right. Looking forward to it, too.
Do you have a tentative date that they can tune in for the listeners, or are you going to post it later?
No, I'll post it. It'll be in January. I'm still working on the final details, but it'll be in January sometime.
All right,
everybody. This is like a family reunion because Charles Gentry gave us both. He did me the same way. We were friends, and he kept, you know, inviting me to listen to his show, and so I did. I called in, and I planned to listen. And he said, "Caller, do you have a piece?" "A piece of what?" I was like, "That's not a boy." I said, "Okay." It was just amazing. But yes, we are blessed to have Charles Gentry on the other side of the interview because you heard him, listeners. He has been doing this for a long time, major league players and all types of musical guests. And so he's the interviewer of the interviewers, and now we have him. So, Jamisa, thank you so much for joining us on this last weekend of the year where we jointly listened to Charles Gentry's interview. Do you have any questions for him, Jamisa?
No. Why would I give away my questions for my interview?
Well, you know, I'm sneaky. I was like, okay. All right, everybody, there you have it. She's going to make you wait until January to hear what kind of questions she has for Tom. I thought I would give her opportunity to just throw one at him, but they're going to keep it all a secret. But I look forward to Jamise Wilson. Jamise, while you have a minute, this is our end, our commercial break anyway. Tell them a little bit about Uncovered and how they can find you.
Well, Uncovered is my podcast on Stormtalk 365 Radio, which is mostly about relationships and, you know, dealing with losses in your life and how to get back on track, you know, how to build your self-esteem up, how to become independent again, how to get back out there and build your confidence. So you can find me on Stormtalk 365 Radio Tuesdays at 5 p.m. Eastern Time. I also have a second one. It's called the Uncovered 2 podcast, where I usually just talk about things going on, you know, current events, things are going on in my life or different things like that. So that comes on Saturdays at 2 p.m. Eastern Time on Stormtalk 365 Radio as well. You can find me on social media under Jamise Wilson. I'm on Facebook, Jamise Wilson. I have a group, Uncovered Podcast, and a Facebook page, Uncovered Podcast. And you can also find me on Stormtalk 365 Radio group and page. So there you go.
There you go.
Well, all right, everybody. That was our commercial. We are currently interviewing Charles Gentry. He is the founder of the PortsWithoutLimits.com and the Horizon Speakers Alliance. We are now interviewing him about his new journey. He has The Essentials, the book, which is can be found on Amazon.com, and we're talking about his One Love Nation ministry. We just heard from Jamise Wilson, who's going to be interviewing him and airing it in January. The interviewer of all interviewers is going to be her guest as well. So thank you so much, Jamise, for stopping by. And as we move on to the last part, the last leg of this interview, there are two things that I want you to tell us a little bit about. First, tell us a little bit about the mentoring for teens, and then we want to get into Red Storehouse. That name sounds just intriguing. So let's talk about the youth first, and then we'll get into Red Storehouse.
Okay. All right. You know, we are coming with our youth mentoring program, which begins this summer, and those, you know, students, junior high school age, who will be ending school, their school semester, and they need something to do for the summer, we'll be running our youth entrepreneur program, okay? And with the youth entrepreneur program, we'll be teaching youth, again, middle school and high school age youth, we'll be teaching them entrepreneurship, how to start and run your own business. And they'll be learning things like marketing, sales, management, strategic management. And as they get a grasp on all these things, then we will teach them how to customize it to be their own boss and run their own companies. And that's something that we feel is a definite need in today's world, which is a global world where so many people find themselves out of work and businesses being shipped overseas and manufacturing being closed down and all those jobs that used to be there, you know, for people and young people in America are disappearing. And so it's going to be even more necessary and pertinent in the coming years that people know how to be their own bosses, know how to start their and run their own companies and not have to depend on someone else to employ them, but to be able to employ themselves successfully. So that's a mentoring program that we're going to have, and then we will follow that up in the fall with our One Love Nation Christian Academy, and that will be a homeschool program that will teach not only all the key core subjects of, you know, math, English, you know, science, and all of the regular subjects, but also entrepreneurship. Okay. So that's what we have for the youth. Yeah.
You know, I have a podcast that's called Youth Connections. And I'll share that with you later, but I would love to incorporate whatever you're doing for the youth and be able to put it in a podcast form to share on the other platforms. So if you have any interviews or anything like that you would like to share on the podcast station called the Youth Connections, we could talk about that. But I'm excited about that. The youth has been kicked to the curb, and you know, but we need to go back and take care of the youth. I didn't mean to cut across you, but
exactly.
That's exciting. So.
Exactly. And then Red Storehouse, we are just super excited about. Red Storehouse is our own crowdfunding platform, just like Kickstarter and Indiegogo, but it is a crowdfunding platform designed especially to fund ministries, ministry projects, and charity projects. And so we will be getting people as members to come in as members and donors to fund programs, just like on regular crowdfunding sites, like again Kickstarter and all those sites. But the projects that they will be funding are projects that are basically designed to change the world. And as an example, we have a project that we're going to be funding of a person in Ghana, Africa, who has orphanages. And not only does he have orphanages, getting the, and there's so many of them, orphans in Ghana, but he also has schools for them. They live there, have living quarters there, and he's literally taking these young people off the street and being able to give them an education, being able to provide them with a roof over their head and food, and also teach them the word. And so that's one of the, you know, projects that we're going to be funding. And we have many more like that, you know, that we will be funding, not only overseas, but here in the United States. We have a project who... we have someone who deals with bullying schools, and we know that's become a real problem now. And she not only has a program for bullying to teach children how to not be bullied, how to not fall into that behavior, but also those who have been harmed by it, how to regain their self-esteem. And she's put together a program that helps both ends of that spectrum. And we will be funding her program also. So Red Storehouse is a crowdfunding platform that we will be using to help people who have the desire to get out there and do something to be able to change the world, literally. And people who will participate as donors in the Red Storehouse program will be able to take part in changing that world. You know, $10 doesn't go far today. But when you're funding programs like that, your small contribution is something that's helping people to do the things that need to be done in the world. You know, and we learn time and time again, it's not really the government. It's not, you know, the big corporations that are making the changes, the most changes that are necessary. It's individuals. We saw that during Hurricane Harvey here in Texas, where there were people out there, private people with their own boats rescuing people, where there were people taking food to people, and you know, and it was just private citizens. And so when we come together in unity and make up our minds to do something good, you know, we can achieve that. And so Red Storehouse is a crowdfunding platform that will allow people who have these type of charities or ministries to make changes in the world to make it a better place, and it will allow ordinary people to be contributors to those programs that are changing the world.
Well, speaking of changing the world, if they want to get involved with Red Storehouse or One Love Nation, how would they get involved? How would they contact you?
Okay. One Love Nation can be found again at www.one, That's the number one, Love, L-O-V-E, Nation, NATION.com. Okay, OneLoveNation.com. So they can go to our website, and it will have a lot of these programs that we've talked about on there. And next week, the website for RedStorehouse.com will be up and live, and they'll be able to go on there and see some of the programs that we'll be funding. And also people will be able to nominate programs that they want funded and say, hey, here's a great program. These people are doing a great work over here, and we want to nominate them to be funded on Red Storehouse. And so we'll be taking on those people also who come to us in need of funding with great programs. And again, Red Storehouse next week will be up and running, so you can go to www.redstorehouse.com.
Absolutely. You know, Jamise and I joked about it, but listeners, I'm telling you, he is very modest when it comes to talking about his background, his accomplishments. I'm surprised he shared as much as he did. I have a lot of respect for him as the interviewer of all interviews. Is there anything that you would like the listening audience to know that I have not covered or we have not shared?
Well, just, you know, in closing, people have been, especially those who, you know, have reached that age of 45 and 50 and 60 and 65, and people who have reached that age tend to think that their usefulness is behind them, you know, and they sort of sit around not doing much, almost in a posture where they're, you know, just waiting to die. And we really want to encourage people of that age to say, you know what, your greatest years can still be ahead of you. You know, age is just a number. And yeah. I truly believe that. You might have, you know, more aches and pains than you had when you were 20 years old. But you can get through that. And the knowledge that you have now is far superior to the knowledge that you had when you were 20 and had all that energy. Okay. As Mark Twain said, youth is wasted on the young. So we encourage people to know, encourage people to know that they can still do great things. Don't let people talk you into that, you know, sit somewhere in a rocking chair and just get out the way of the young people. No, your greatest days can still be ahead of you. And we're going to be providing platforms with One Love Nation and with Red Storehouse that we can really change the world. You know, I posted a quote today from Jesus that said, when they marveled at all the things he was doing, and he told his disciples, he said, greater things will you do. We are looking for those greater things. You know, I'm not going anywhere right now. I'm looking to do even greater things than I've ever done, and I encourage everyone else to look forward to doing those greater things, no matter what age you are. So that's all that we're saying in closing is, united, we can do a lot, okay? As individuals, you know, we're limited in what we can do. But when we truly come together to do something positive, it's unlimited what we can accomplish, okay? So I encourage you to have that mindset to say, hey, you know what? I may not have made an impact on the world like I want to, but I'm going to make up my mind that this coming year, I'm going to step out there and I'm going to do what I know I've been called to do.
Everybody, do you understand I have this man in my pocket? I can call and get this type of motivation anytime I want to. Isn't that a blessing? I'm telling you what. I am so loving this. Sir Charles Gentry, I really appreciate it. I see that your lovely wife is also listening in. So shout out to Bettina Gentry, Bettina Paulette, Purple Passion. I look forward to both of you coming back next year and talking about the ministry and the different things that you have going on together as a couple and individually. She is talented in her own right, a woman who loves the Lord. And,
yes, she is.
Oh, man, let me tell you something. You know, we talk about poetry. this woman can show enough right. Every morning I get messages from her, and I don't know where she gets them from. And her husband has encouraged her to keep a journal of them, but she just spits them out like you could spit out sunflower seeds. I mean, dang! So
she's very anointed
and blessed with the gift of verbiage, as they say. If it can be said, they can write it in a way that you would just fall in love with it. So shout out to Bettina Gentry. And again, Sir Charles, I thank you so much for giving me the honor to be the first one to interview. You know, more interviews are coming now that you're back on the scene. But listeners, you can hear this on demand at, of course, www.blogtalkradio.com/positivelymissB. But I'm also going to upload it to our Spreaker account. We'll also be shared on some other platforms. So it's for on-demand listening. Don't feel bad. You can share it. But that being said, everybody, this is Ms. B with Sir Charles Gentry and Lady Potato Gentry listening and my daughter Janice Wilson and the other callers. We thank you so much, whether you're on the line or listening by website. We really appreciate you taking the time out this evening to listen to the big comeback for Sir Charles Gentry. You can find the essentials on Amazon. It's the book that you really, really don't want to miss out on reading. And his website, www.1lovenation.com. And also look for next week, a website dedicated to the crowdfunding that he has, Red Storehouse, specifically to help ministries. All right, everybody, again, this is Ms. B. Thank you so much. I'm excited about the new year. May the Lord bless you and keep you real good. Good night, everybody.